I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life. Welcome, welcome to Dare to Dream Radio and Podcast. Be sure to give us a 5-star review if you love it, and I know you do, and leave an amazing review because guess what? You actually are a great service to other people who would love to hear this level of conversation. I am just back from Austin, Texas, and what a trip it was. I'm still recovering, and in a really good way. Get to hang out with some amazing friends who are becoming even better friends and meet all new awesome people. And I can't express enough the power of relationship and how things have already been changing for me since I returned. People feel like they need to work with me and want to put me on their stages, and actually that's where I'm headed, right? So just like you hiring a coach and a person and a consultant for what you need, I do the same, by the way. Coaches should be, always are, growing. I am. I'm in a 1-year program with someone who's operating at a much higher level than I, and so is really pushing me into the places and spaces where I've been resistant. You know, as an entrepreneur, it's very easy. My business runs as it does. I don't have to do very much. But, you know, I am a teacher of visibility, right? I work with people to write their books, get their books to bestseller, and I book them to get interviewed on media. Also, I do visibility strategy sessions. So you understand the key word is visibility. So I'm being called up further to that. So I have agreed, made a handshake, so to speak, with the universe that I'm stepping into that. And of course, the universe provides. So there are very nice, big, yummy stages. I'm being invited to speak and make offers, and I'm super psyched because that means I get to have all new relationship with all new amazing people. So how lucky am I? How does it get any better? Well, a little bit later on in the show, I've got internationally acclaimed safety culture expert and business maverick, Spike Edwards, who's here to talk about how to find the connection to profits that are hidden right inside your business. Spike says that safety is a key ingredient to a successful team along with strong communication. That kind of sounds like a personal relationship as well, key ingredients, to have safety and strong communication. So I love that. Spike is the Connection to Profits speaker, and he will be on later on Dare to Dream. My reminder to you today is about taking a risk to go for what you desire. Here's the deal. Here's the jam. We, each of us, has an idea, an inspiration. There's something that just comes right up from the belly that's exciting to us. Now, it can start with somebody who wants to make a big move, wants to come out to intolerant relatives. Maybe they want to end a marriage that's running on fumes. Or like me, you want to start networking at a high level or speaking on bigger stages, creating bigger relationships than you even currently have. Whatever it is, you feel the need to do it, and you need a big push to do it. So we all know how it works. Well, I know because I've taught dreams and goal creation for a very long time, and what I've seen, the pattern in people is the inspiration hits, the butterflies, excitement, and then wah, 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 wah. The world is a scary place. It's unpredictable. So, gosh, why should I venture out? Why shouldn't I just be satisfied with what I have now? Actually, things like quitting alcohol, having your first child, maybe even adopting a spider monkey. There's never going to be a perfect time. When we use excuses to avoid instead of doing the hard thing, that can mean delaying our truest desires forever. You know, life is way too fast. to delay our true desires. So no matter what's happening in your life, going for a big move can feel risky, but that limited idea does not make it okay to play safe. So many of my personal biggest leaps, like becoming a writer, leaving a corporate job to start a new career, doing 2 Los Angeles marathons, quitting a dream job that went sour, moving from New York to California, they've all paid off. I can be a cautious person too, trust me. I can second-guess choices, trust me. Everything from what city I should live in to whether a rhinestone collar suits my dog. But I still believe in taking chances. And I've learned that all risks are much less risky when they are an expression of your own private desires, the beliefs, and the values that matter most to you. So here's the most incredible benefit of taking a leap. Taking a leap strengthens your ability to return to your core faith in what you hold dear. Think of it like this. Think of it as a virtuous cycle instead of a vicious cycle. You take risks based on your beliefs, and the happy results of those risks bolster your beliefs. Those convictions don't just determine how courageous you are. They also determine how joyful and satisfied you are every day of your life. Believe me when I say, you can ask for more. You can ask for what you want, you need, without feeling greedy. You can drastically change your circumstances and relish a fresh perspective. You can get what you want and be enormously grateful for it, grateful enough to then gift others generously and build a world brighter than the one we're currently living in. So, take the leap. Take the job. Hop on the flight. Say yes. Yeah, there may be fear. There may be doubt. There may be maudlin late-night consumption of double-stuffed Oreos while staring into an abyss. But still, stay the course. And even when you're not feeling brave, you can merely intend to be. Remember, the meaning of courage is to do something in spite of fear. So intention for now will do. Take a risk. When we come back, Spike Edwards is here, and Spike goes into businesses and creates or improves a culture, plus safety, and he finds where the hidden profits are. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Arjuna Arda, and I'm the author of the new book, Radical Brilliance. Have you ever stopped to consider why Albert Einstein came up with the general theory of relativity? Emmeline Pankhurst got the vote for women, and Steve Jobs rethought the way we understand computers and cell phones, while many of us just watch in amazement and applause on the sidelines. What is it that causes some people to have original ideas which change the world? Radical Brilliance is the answer to that question, and it presents 4 very different kinds of subjective experience and brainwave activity which, when they come together in a human life, radically increase your chances of being brilliant. Come visit radicalbrilliance.com, where I've prepared a free 5-day mini course that explains all of the principles of your brilliant life.
Hi, this is Debbie Dashinger, host of the syndicated award-winning radio and podcast show, Dare to Dream. Do you have a dream inside of you? Dare to Dream is all about making people successful in a changing world. And the mantra is dare to create your dreams into your reality. In fact, dare to live bigger than what seems possible, because you can. We're live every Wednesday at 12 Pacific Time on BBS Radio. You can also listen on iTunes, Player FM, iVoox, Stitcher, Spreaker, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. As Justin Shank, our subscriber, wrote, an absolute rock star host who gets great conversation from her guests. Motivation, inspiration, and insightful advice in this Do Not Miss Dare to Dream podcast.
We look forward to connecting with you live every Wednesday. Dare to Dream.
Hi, it's Debbie Dashinger from the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast, heard live every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time. You're invited to receive a visibility strategy session to move your business forward. The session is going to help you get clear on what's holding you back, uncover how to better reach your clients. Send your interest application to this email, daretodreamradio@gmail.com. If you feel like Moses, wandering around the entrepreneurial desert, imagine how helpful it will be to have a 45-minute call with a visibility media expert. Ready to get clear? Ready to get direction for books, web presence, bestsellers, media, and interviews? Book your visibility strategy session today. Email daretodreamradio@gmail.com and put the words visibility strategy session in the subject.
Hey, podcasters, this is Bonnie Bruder, creator and founder of Binge Networks. Like you, I was a content creator, and for many years I had a challenge getting people to consume the content. And so I created Binge Networks. Binge is a platform that can help any podcaster or video creator get their content in front of millions of potential viewers or listeners. What we do is we create a channel for you on Binge, and then we have a syndication technology that broadcasts it on 50 different media outlets. Outlets like Apple, Roku, Sony, Samsung. And the best part is it's really simple and easy to use. Guys, some of these outlets have tens of millions, in some cases hundreds of millions of subscribers, so this can be a total game changer. I want to invite you to take a serious look at Binge Networks and having a channel so that we can get your content out to the world.
Life is good. We feel it. In you is such a beauty and a power and a love that can never die. It's always there. It's inviolate. And though it may be covered up by experience temporarily, it's real. And we're here to uncover that destiny.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream Radio and Podcast. This is Debbie Dashinger. I've got Spike Edwards here. He's a best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and host of Spike's Bulletproof Your Business Podcast. Internationally acclaimed safety culture expert and business maverick, Spike Edwards shows businesses how to regularly create profits, increase productivity, and save lives. He was in the military for 21 years, and then he focused on one challenge, cracking the safety code. The turning point for him was when he worked with a large American company on a movie that you'll know and we'll talk about a little later. Today, Spike helps to grow leaders and businesses around the globe. You can find him at his name, SpikeEdwards.com. Spike, welcome to Dare to Dream. It's so great to have you.
And it's great to be here, Debbie.
Yes. So everyone can hear you've got this beautiful accent. You're a behavioral-based safety expert originally from Australia, and now you currently reside in New Zealand. How did you end up in New Zealand?
That's a bit of a long story. I was actually living in Singapore and being part of the oil and gas industry. I moved to Indonesia, then China, and we bought a rig from China to New Zealand, and this is sort of where I've parked my suitcase.
How do you like it?
It's fantastic. It's a clean and green country, so that's what I like about where I am at the moment. The best part, I live in a little town called Orakura, which is probably 200-300 people. It has a 7,500-foot mountain up the back of us, 5 miles away, that is enjoying 3/4 all the way down snow. And I'm just turning around out my front window here, and 200 yards down the street is the ocean, and I walk on that beach 10 to 12,000 steps each morning, practicing my stories and doing my focus groups in that area before I even start work in the morning. So wow. it's really a great place to study, practice, and get the information that I want to get out of me first.
That sounds so beautiful to me. And I also kind of know you're a bit of a daredevil, right? Don't you do those mountain roads on a motorcycle, or you've got cool cars, or what do you have going on there?
Well, the roads here are windy, and they're all around the mountain. And it's a very small country, so they're not big, wide-open freeways like we see in America. So here I've got a little Z4 BMW convertible, so that's fantastic, through a little passage through Mount Messenger, which is probably one of the worst roads in New Zealand. But for sports cars and motorbikes, it's a dream. So you can really test it out. And the motorbike I have is actually a Spider, Can-Am Spider. So they're two wheels at the front, one driving at the back, and they are computer assisted all the way through the engine steering and the actual engine. So they are a treat to drive on New Zealand roads, especially when there's black ice on the road sometimes, because the computers take over and it's still safe.
Oh my God. So even the personal equipment you ride has a safety factor built in. I love that. So I want to use that actually as a jumping point to get into what you do. And I want to start with the idea that in your work, in your resume, in your website, Spike, the word culture comes up a lot. So for me, somebody who's not in corporate America, it's kind of funny. Culture in regards to business, it's a bit now like how everyone uses the word unpacking. Like
right.
Somebody once said that word now, and everybody uses it for everything. So can you explain first to people who don't know that term, what does culture mean in regards to business?
Well, if we have a look at a country for a start, like the culture of America, you have a culture that is very much American, the same as the culture for Japan is very much Japan. You know when you step into those countries that you've come to another country. Now, if we take that to a business, and we take the places like Apple, Microsoft, and Google, when you walk into them, you know you've walked into Google. You don't go, oh, where am I? Whereas there are so many businesses out there that are just, oh, I'm in business. If you're just in business, you aren't connecting with a tribe. You're not bonding with the rest of the people that want to be part of your culture. And that's why Apple, Google, and Microsoft have grown so big, is because they actually inculcate that culture into their products, their people, their staff, their teams, and the list goes on, their contractors, everything.
So in these cultures, in these companies that you go in and work with and you're hired as a consultant to help, one of the things that you say, Spike, is that companies leave a ton of money on the table because they don't see that the connection to profits is safety. In your expertise, how do companies go for compliance, but they stay broke?
That's the whole thing. They're staying with compliance, and it actually is costing them money to stay there. Because you've got to remember that OSHA has set up the rules because people have been hurt over the centuries, and those rules have accumulated to protect the workers. So when you're just in compliance, you're not going through the process of quality and innovation, and you're still stuck with the rudimentary, I've got to do this, this is all I can do. It's people aren't going outside their box to find out an answer, how not to get around the rules and the compliancy, but how to make the best use of it with today's technology, today's thinking, and today's smallness of the world.
Can you give an example, like a success example of a company that was just mired in this OSHA compliance, not working for them, and how you went in and helped them to see a different point of view that created a successful safety program?
They're pretty much a dime a dozen. It's nearly all of them. The easiest one, and I'm not into naming the companies. That's not the thing to do in the safety game, because I want them to come to me and be quite open what they tell me.
Totally.
But the situation was one company. It was a European company. I won't go down to with the actual country, because you'll know straight away who it is. But they had a whole bunch of contractors being their top executives. So what they had was a number of head managers for the country, and underneath them, all the staff were contractors with various levels of skill, and they're quite skillful. So everything they did, they stayed within compliancy and regulations, and which is quite true. But what they did do was, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're doing this. And they would chop and change around the regulations without giving the people a sense of safety, a sense of belonging. People started to be frightened of what they would tell people. They would not report stuff. So it actually leads to stuff going underneath the table, swept underneath the rug. And then what actually happened, we said and it was very simple, just because these lists were coming out each morning and they would run through them and just berate people for not being safe. Whereas if you do, if you segment them and put them into sections where there's a bucket full of, say, non-compliances, and then there's a bucket full of quality control, and then there's a bucket full of leadership, and you can go, well, okay, what do we need to address in leadership? What do we need to address in safety that will give us the maximum output? And stick with that for a number of time. Now, what that actually does, it says to the people, we don't have to panic about what we report, because these people are listening to us. When you've put it into a bucket, it seems to be addressed, and you see the influence of that trickle down into the workforce. So the workforce see that they're being listened to, heard, and being reacted on accordingly to whether it's a money thing, a safety thing, or a leadership thing. And what that does, it says, oh, now that I know that if I report the really bad stuff, they will listen to me, and you get a better quality of reporting instead of, I must report this, I must report that. They go, oh, have you thought of doing this? Have you thought about doing that? Or that piece of equipment needs to be changed. And no one would have given it a thought, or even wanted to give it a thought, for another 5 years until it actually broke and fell on someone.
I've worked at companies. I've been involved at some level. I used to actually do some chemical work when everything in the environment changed, and we actually became involved in caring as the United States. So I saw this intimately and up close. Everything from accidents that can happen to what's possible when you implement right kind of safety procedures and everybody's on board. And it's not to be taken lightly what you're talking about, because you yourself have been brought in countless times after fatality accidents. I'm so sure, Spike, that you've seen and heard some horrendous accident stories. So I would just like you to address that a little bit. Any time that you have been brought in after a fatality accident at a company, what did you learn? What did you teach? And what did you feel like, gosh, there was a bottom line here? This didn't have to be fatal.
One of the key things here is that no one intentionally goes to work to create an accident or to get someone hurt. So that's the main thing. Everyone is doing what they think is their best. If we take that a step further, what hasn't happened is that what everyone thinks is the best hasn't been united in the same direction. And that's what you get with a culture. And unauthorized, and I'm trying to make sure it's polite for the audience, unauthorized release of hydrocarbons. That's a big bang. I've had one of those in Brazil, in Malaysia. There has been a death in Malaysia. I've worked in the United States where there's been a tragedy happening. So all around the world, China, and every place has got a manual, and every place has compliancy. What the industries, what the businesses and the communities, because it also affects communities. This isn't just businesses. This is families, communities, everything, and not just financially. A lot of people don't realize that, especially when you go to different countries. And all I try and do, and I use safety as, remember I said before, getting them united, because this is how I actually found out what I've got about safety and how efficiently it works. I used to go in and be a change agent for organizations, and it used to be so hard. Everyone would go, oh, I don't want to change it. Oh, this is so hard, and it'd take 3 to 5 years. And I was actually having a project that was failing. And I thought, oh, this is going south really bad. What I will do is I'll set the organization up so that at least the workers and the people are safe. So I just specifically dealt with safety. Next thing you know, everyone went attention, left turn, because they had a common enemy. It was me. And I'd put it down to safety. And everyone went in the same direction, and the company just went forward and forward, and the whole project turned out to be very successful. That's why when I go in to do step change into an organization, I use safety, because I know they're not doing it. They and that's what compliance is. Compliance is just they say they do it. Whereas if they are really doing it, it's inculcated into their work processes, it's into their management systems are written for what they do, not about what they should be doing, and their leaders are actually inspiring, engaging, setting levels of expectation and positively communicating to their community. And that is what I start out to do in and have done in all those companies that I actually went into, was set up those four things.
Do you want to talk about the four things that you bring about into the company that you help to
realize? Certainly, yeah. Yeah, no worries at all. And they're very important. People can take this on. Your listeners can take this on right from the get-go. They don't have to get a consultant in or whatever to look at it. But it's about, first of all, being the influence as a leader. This is for the bosses and the CEOs and business leaders. You've got to be a person of influence. So one of the key things in this day is to have the ability to tell your story, because unless you're a person of high influence normally, that everyone just follows and just, you know, goes down the street with you. When you say, oh, I'm going down the street, they all want to come. Most CEOs aren't like that. So you need to have that ability to show that you care, show that you can be trusted. And trust has just gone out the window over the last couple of decades, and story brings that all back to the home base. And also for the company, you know, the company should have a story as well, so that it inspires the workers to work there, to be better. And to be, when someone says, oh, where do you work? And you go, ABC Limited, they go, oh, wow, that's so cool. Whereas if a lot of companies, you get, oh, no, you don't work there, do you?
Not the response you want as the company.
No, it's not. So that's the first one. The next one is, and this is, I learned this, if you've heard my story on stage, reference my parachuting inability.
Yes.
I learned to fall. I never learned to actually parachute, but I learned to fall fairly well. And the thing is there, being an elite special forces operative, you've been set the level of expectancy being a special forces soldier, and that expectancy is what saved my life. And this is the difference between a world class safety culture and just a business, is someone set the bar. That's all it is. This is where we're going to play, and everything we do is going to be at this level. And if you want to do compliance, if someone's just said, well, let's just do compliance, we've just got to make sure OSHA doesn't attack us, you know, then that's it. That's the level. You can hear it even in the voice. So that's number two.
And number three.
Number three, you've set the level of expectancy. You've got to now engage your workforce. You've actually got to get them doing what you want to do, and not, you know, there's a difference between managing and leading. Leaders lead from the front, and the workers and the managers will follow that leader, but they won't if they're not engaged.
Leaders have a lot on their shoulders.
They do. And a lot of people in this day and age don't know how to lead. There's a lot of misconceptions out there about leadership and what they're being taught. And I'm not saying that I know everything about leadership, but having spent 22 years military and actually training young officers up to be seasoned commanders, leaders in themselves, and when you see them go off to be later state governors and politicians and things like that, you go, oh, okay, you know that you had an influence. You weren't the direct influence, but the overall process of what was provided and shown to me in my special forces time also shaped that whole process. So there is a lot to leadership, and a lot of people only get it segmented. They don't do the overall package.
This is powerful stuff. So after number three, properly engaging your workforce, really get the leaders to be leading, then what's the fourth step?
Fourth step's really simple, because what we're doing is we're setting up a core container, not for just workplace safety, but for people to feel safe. This is what a culture is about. And we're setting up that container. And the last one is so easy to do. It's so cheap to achieve. It's positive communication about everything we spoke about before. So you're positively enforcing it. It's more like a parent that positively enforces their child when the good behavior actually comes about. And obviously, whatever you reinforce is duplicated on a more often basis.
I keep saying how funny these steps are, because I hear what you're saying about safety, but they sound so much to me like a romantic relationship. Like, all of this would really work if you cross-pollinated and people started also using this in their personal life.
Do you know how many people have actually said exactly the same thing? It's amazing.
We're onto something here,
really...
Spike.
I know.
You can speak on stages about this is safety, love relationship workshop. But I mean, I really feel that strongly. You know, wouldn't it be great to feel safe in your relationship and have positive communication, engagement, enforcement? Well, the enforcement, we might want to change that word a little, but for love. But I like what you're saying, and what I hear you saying about a work environment and safety is that this creates a container where really positive, healthy, safe things can take place for the management as well as for the employees, which makes for a very smooth way to work and to be excited to show up for work.
Oh, and that's what you just said then. That is worth $1 million to any company, people that want to turn up.
Yeah, and how many of you in your jobs want to turn up? What are you learning here? And what are you starting to hear is the bottom line that you can implement based on what Spike is saying to improve your working conditions or make those suggestions to the upper management that you're working with? Well, you're listening to Dare to Dream Radio and podcast. We're going to be taking a break, and when we come back, we'll find out a little bit more about Spike's amazing life and working therein and jumping out of an airplane. So we'll find out a little bit more about that. It scares me to hear that, but he lived it. Go get your free report called Free Publicity, How to Become the Go-To Expert and Be Interviewed on Media Now. Get your free report at debbiedashinger.com. That's DebbieDashinger. Free publicity, how to become the go-to expert and be interviewed on media. Stay right there. We will be right back.
What books are you reading? Are you ready for a must-read? Winner of the Inspirational Book of the Year Award and International Bestsellers, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts by Debbie Dashinger, as well as the acclaimed Wisdom to Success, The Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams. Buy the books from Amazon today. U.S. Book Review and Writer's Digest said these are critics' picks. By Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream and Wisdom to Success contain gems to live your life by.
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
MyBestsellerBook.com helps you self-publish and you keep all the royalties. Even if your book is already published, MyBestsellerBook.com will help you become a best-selling author. Your book will be promoted to a large global following. Enjoy a press release and book reviews. Make your next book launch bigger and better. MyBestsellerBook.com has long-term client credibility and 100% success in turning books into bestsellers. MyBestsellerBook.com.
What is forgiveness like in your life? Is there someone right now that you need to forgive? Project Forgive is changing all that, teaching you how to skillfully forgive and finally get that freedom. Go to www.projectforgive.com. It's time you freed yourself and freed your dream. You're listening to Dare to Dream.
Debbie Dashinger and Dare to Dream Radio. If you're tuning in after we've started, I'm interviewing Spike Edwards, who is creating safety cultures. Spike asks, are you working with the right team? And he asks you to imagine if your safety department really worked, because it all begins with safety cultures. You can find him at spikeedwards.com. So you were brought in to work on a movie. I'm not going to say the title, but I'd like you to, and then just say, what was the behind-the-scene experience? What was your role?
The actual event was a true-life situation that the movie was actually based on. So what actually happened was there was an uncontrolled release of hydrocarbons in an ocean in some part of the world. And much like the movie that you're describing, those events actually occurred, and we actually had, fortunately, there was no loss of life in that situation, and we were asked to turn that whole business around so that it could function properly and obviously get back the millions and millions of dollars that they were losing each day.
So the movie that Spike is referring to is the movie called Deepwater Horizon, and I'm going to tease... starring Marky Mark. I can't help. I still remember him from those days, Marky Mark. But Mark Wahlberg stars in it. That was an intense movie, Spike. I watched it, and that was like, oh, my God, an accident waiting to happen. One thing after another, you know, as someone watching the movie, I was hitting my forehead, like the stupid choices. Sorry, I know this is a real-life story, but really, the choices that were being made one after another and all the dissension between upper management, lower, and never the mind shall meet. So how did you go in there and figure out how to make something at that level of destruction safe?
Right. The situation I was with wasn't with the actual movie. It was with an event that was similar to what occurred in the movie. So that's very important to realize. But what one does is a lot of people will go into a business and find out what a business is doing wrong and then try and change it. I go in and, first of all, I listen to what they actually want to achieve, what they're trying to achieve, and then I look at what they're doing right, because I can build on what they're doing right. And if it's zero, well, that's where we start. We start at ground zero. But once I've assessed what they're doing right, I can then start spreading that into the areas that they aren't doing as well, so that the goodness and the correctness of what they're doing is pollinated. And I stick with safety until I find a champion, and then two champions, and then three champions, and it starts to motivate itself. What occurred in this situation, I went in and the first, what we call them implementation plans, was 95% all safety, because that's how much was wrong in the organization that they weren't doing. They had all the right procedures. If you wanted to look at compliance, they were compliant. There wasn't a thing wrong with it. So I go in with the first implementation, which is safety, which I said basically gets everyone aligned. They've got a common enemy, and they've also have a common knowledge of what is expected, because most safety is regulated. So they know that they've got to work to that regulation. So it's not actually me doing that work. It's them. The second implementation plan, this is all in 18 months, so you can see how quickly this just rolls out. The second implementation plan was about 50 to 40% safety. And then the last one that I actually did was 5% safety, and everything else was change management and productivity improvement techniques. And of course, the key influence in there, somewhere in there, and businesses are very different how they actually react to this, but they suddenly realized that they need to work on their organizational leadership. Once that happens, you know they're very quickly on their way to being by themselves.
Saving lives, saving money, changing a company, and got you. I didn't realize that you didn't work directly on the movie Deepwater Horizon, so I'm glad you made
no,
that
no,
correction
no, no, no.
there.
Got yeah,
it,
no.
got it. We're about to go to a break, but I really want to get this in, because you have led a pretty cool life. You were originally raised on a small farm in Australia. Will you talk a little bit about your father, your mother, what you learned from them, and some of the highlights of what's happened in your life, the Army, Special Forces, planes, all of that?
Yeah, it's quite funny, because when you look back at it, through the whole process, you're not that really, you know, this isn't a great place. I know I was enjoying myself at most of the time. But when you look back at it, it was so special. Like, when I grew up on the country, we had 2,500 sheep, 600 head of beef, and, you know, good Hereford stock. So we had a reasonable size farm. It was, but in Australian standards, it was still small. Then, you know, little things like I used to ride a horse to school. Not all the time, because I had to fight my sister for it. And and so you'd ride it down the road. And there was even a horse paddock at the school. And you took the saddle off, put it in the saddle tank. It was an old rain tank that was no longer good for holding water. So you laid it down, and that's where the saddle's laid until you came out of school. This is primary school, by the way. This isn't secondary school. Then I actually went off when I was eight, I decided that I'd either wanted to be a doctor or a soldier. And at that time I had my appendix out, and the doctor really didn't have much bedside manner. I said, well, I don't really want to do that. So I wanted to become a soldier. And then I found out I could become a army apprentice. Now in Australia, they're the most sought after apprenticeships and tradespeople in the country. And out of, I think it was 1,500, 2,000 people, 203 of us were selected for my trade. Oh, actually, there was 33 of us for my trade, 233 for the entire intake of electricians, plumbers, carpenters, all that sort of stuff. And then, by accident, I actually knocked on the door of Special Forces and said, can I have a job? This is why I was in the Army, and they were short of tradesmen. So I actually started life in Special Forces as what they call a black hat, a non-qualified special forces person. And so I looked after their equipment, all their trucks, guns, boats, all that sort of stuff. And with the workplace, and this is why I can really appreciate people who talk about harassment or bullying in the workplace, we were just treated like rubbish for 2 years. And rightly so, and like people go, oh, you poor thing. But that's part of the eliteness of the special forces. They knew they were better. They knew their skill sets were greater. And so, therefore, it carried them through life. And what that did for me was says, well, if they can do it, because I was doing PT with them every day, going carrying the same packs, all that sort of stuff, if they can do it, so can I. And I mentally conditioned myself over that 2 years to actually pass that course first time. And I wasn't coming off that unless I'd broken a leg or died.
Whoa. You're a beast.
Something like that. But, you know, I'm actually not. that's the whole thing.
Well, inside of you must really get excited, even if it's a level of competition with yourself, that you're when you say, I'm going to succeed even if I have to break something. That's pretty big.
Yeah, well, it's also, you know, you don't want to come back and be the guy that failed the course as well. That's what also made me jump out of a plane. Like, I fell out of a hedge. Yeah, I fell out of a hedge when I was a kid on the farm onto a barbed wire fence. I still got the scars on my back. And I used to die 1,000 deaths every day. And they sent me, because you do specialities, like you do vehicle mounted and you do water ops, you know, the divers you see in the movies. And they picked me to go parachuting. So that was my insertion skill, to go parachuting. And I used to die 1,000 deaths every day.
Were you scared?
Oh, I was terrified. Honestly, you think I'm joking? I was truly terrified. I literally fell out of the plane every time because every cell in my body was saying, "Don't jump, don't jump."
I think I would be the same. I've talked about this before. Like, I actually have a fascination with going. Well, for me, it would be skydiving. It wouldn't be special forces. But I've made jokes, like I could take all the lessons, get up on the plane, and they'd look at me and say, Debbie, it's your turn. And I'd be screaming, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. They'd have to push me out the door. I think I'd be freaking terrified, certainly the first couple of times till you have a sense of safety, like you have a sense of what it's like to have that wind rushing against you and to know the parachute will open and to know what it feels like to touch land, even know what it feels like to enjoy the fall and the view. So I can't even imagine, really. It's pretty big in my space just to think about. This is Dare to Dream Radio. Again, if you would like your free gift, go to debbiedachinger.com, DACHINGER. Learn about free publicity. Get your free publicity report and get booked. Free PR, free media, it really works for you. So you have a big message, a big exposure out into the world. It's so worth it to learn how to do. When we come back in our final segment, we will be speaking with Spike Edwards. This is Dare to Dream Radio. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedassinger.com. That's ads@debbiedassinger.com.
By the marvels of imagination and the dreams of the ones who believed, all the doors to the world are now open for you, and they're open for me.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger. I'm interviewing Spike Edwards at spikeedwards.com. And we are here in our final brief segment. Spike, what was your TEDx talk about?
Safety is dangerous, Debbie.
Great title. Why? Why is safety dangerous?
Because so many people are actually going down to what we were talking about today, compliancy. And what they're doing is they're not using their risk and safety muscles like they used to. And so therefore, basically, we're bubble wrapping everybody up. And this isn't just for business. This is families, homes, communities, and businesses. This is why it's so dangerous.
You personally, is there a ritual or practice that you use daily that helps keep you grounded and together? You mentioned walking on this beautiful beach every morning, but what is your daily ritual or practice that you use to be awesome every day?
Good question, Debbie. And it's interesting you say that. I call it my Divine Nine. It keeps me grounded, and it also makes sure that I pay privilege to what I'm able to achieve and what I've done. You know, like you said, the TEDx talk, the special forces thing, I actually realize that most people don't get to do this. So to do this, I make sure that this ritual is in place each and every day to give thanks.
I love that. Gratitude is quite powerful. So you give thanks every day.
Yeah. And the ritual itself, a lot of it comes from like the first thing I do. I wake up at 5 o'clock every morning. Well, normally it's before that, but my ritual starts at 5. And basically this was taken from Special Forces, Russian Special Forces, Spetsnaz. And within that, they do a martial art, a self-defense. And believe it or not, the first ritual is actually relaxing the body so that the body can actually repair itself. So I'll systematically go through and find out where the tension is and then ask my body to repair it, relax into it, and basically do its own healing. From there, I meditate. Once I've meditated, and just any sort of meditation, it makes no difference what it is, but I'll normally sit there and do breathing meditation. The next one is, and it's quite funny because I see that there's a military officer on YouTube that got notoriety for this. I thought I was the only sucker that did this, but most military people will. I actually mentally make my bed before I do anything else.
You mentally make your bed. What does that
mean? I intentionally make my bed every morning. So I do the relaxation, I do the meditation, then I actually make my bed.
Ah, in your bedroom, you make your bed.
In my bedroom, that's it. I physically make it, make sure it's all tight, drummed up, and then that's it. You can't go back to bed, so you got to keep moving forward.
Well, that's good. I like that. I never thought of it that way. I'm one of those people too. I know lots of people who are like, "Why? You're just going to come home and jump into it again," and they leave it all ruffled up. I have never been able to do that.
No.
I have to I have to make everything, put the covers back. I always have beautiful pillows. I have to do the pillows. If I have to work around my dog who's still sleeping, I'll do that. But there's something about starting my morning with the bed, opening the windows, getting sunshine in my room, and then I'm ready.
Moving on, exactly. Then I go for a cold shower. That's to get the blood circulating around the body. then I come and activate my body, and I'll do that through stretching. Most people would look at it as yoga stretches. Then planks. Once again, some of those Russian military push-ups, they're very different to other push-ups, and also some squats, and a number of Chinese martial art exercises that are all tension. And this all only takes 5-10 minutes. They're all very short, sharp, but they activate the body, and every muscle then knows what it's doing.
I know you're a grandpa recently. You're a dad, right? You just become a grandpa. No wonder you look like you do, and you have the energy you do.
Yeah,
little
Adelie.
I think we need to go to Spike Edwards Boot Camp. That's what I think.
Exactly.
For inner and outer healing, how to get your day not only started, but to bulletproof your life and your business. So you've got a podcast, Bulletproof Your Business. Where can people hear it?
They can hear that on iTunes. It's sitting on iTunes. And it is simply a Bulletproof Your Business podcast by Spike Edwards. And it is about not just the compliance. Matter of fact, we've been talking safety for 11 episodes, and I don't think we've talked one compliance issue. It's all leadership. Everything about that SEEC that I spoke about, that's the first stuff you've got to get right first.
Awesome, people. So definitely you can tune into that and get a lot more information and connection with Spike. And at the very end, Spike, this is Dare to Dream. What are you next, Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
Oh, well, my future goals. One, I'm looking at putting out a chapter in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Should I tell the audience about this?
Yes, definitely. Let's see that.
Well, Debbie, I was actually it was one of the very few Saturday mornings I'm sitting around doing nothing, and who should come on my computer but Debbie doing a Facebook Live, and it was about your book.
I Am Still Here, the anthology. I Am Still Here, Trials Turned into Transformation.
Yeah, and it just resonated so much because I've been doing story about, safety and businesses and such like that, but the reason I do it is so much because of my love for my family, the relationships I've had that have one unfortunate small accident destroyed my family as we know it, and then I went into another relationship and I knew I had to make myself the person that person wanted to be with and continue the relationship. So I had to grow, and in that growth, that's what I've been. That's where I come from to do the TED Talk, write the Amazon bestseller, and do the 5.5 million steps. So all these things have been moving on. And I thought, wow, I really need to get this out of my body and into a story or into a novel. And the healing that has taken place because of it is just absolutely tremendous. So I'd recommend that to anyone, if Debbie ever comes up with the opportunity again.
Thank you so much for sharing that piece. I didn't know that. I just knew I was excited because I already knew you, that you chose. In fact, honestly, I think you were the first author to come on board after my Facebook Live. So you have position number one in the book, chapter number one. That's right. That's what happens when you're first, kids. So I was thrilled. I knew you were going to be an amazing contribution. I didn't realize that this other component and the meaning and significance for you. And I love your sharing this because that's really what it's about. You felt the call of the title, the vibration of what it's like to share with our audience what's possible when something really big time befalls you, unexpected, not so pleasant, and you find your way through out to the other side. I feel like now is the most important time for all of us to be teaching and inspiring that so we can help other people to live and to thrive. So just thrilled, and yes, I probably will do other anthology books in the future. I love who I attract. And what you guys don't know here at the end about Spike and my choice today, which I just think is hilarious, I got a notice late last night, unexpected, no heads up, saying, by the way, the fire department's going to be running drills, fire alarm drills, today between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., which, of course, came right into this interview. I had no idea what it was going to sound like or be like. And the truth is, it's actually gone off several times and been very docile, off in the background, not a lot. But I hope you heard it, because I thought it was the perfect background music for Spike and to talk about safety, to now and then hear little alarms go off that would be very apropos for his particular show. So I ordered that from the universe just for you, Spike.
Thank you very much, Debbie.
Thank you for coming on today and sharing your brilliance on Dare to Dream. It's really been a pleasure.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's been my pleasure as well.
And I'm going to end today's show with this quote from Simon Sinek. Starbucks was founded around the experience and the environment of their stores. Starbucks was about a space with comfortable chairs, lots of power outlets, tables and desks at which we could work, and the option to spend as much time in their stores as we wanted without any pressure to buy. The coffee was incidental. Next week on Dare to Dream, I'm featuring Noah St. John. He's the inventor of affirmations, the best-selling author of Permission to Succeed and The Secret Code of Success. He's going to be talking about getting the money trash thoughts out of your head. You're going to want to tune in. Go to DebbieDashinger.com for your free report on free publicity, how to become the go-to expert and be interviewed on media. Also, my YouTube channel, get your inspiration there at youtube.com/DebOnTheRadio. Thank you for joining us today on Dare to Dream.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to DebbieDashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DebbieDashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?